Now, more Ebling and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Joined by Kelly Rossman McKinney of the Rossman Group, normally the first Friday of the month, but you had other things to worry about the first Friday of the month, right?
Yeah, I was on my honeymoon.
And how was that?
It was fabulous, Jack. It was fabulous.
I'm not looking for all the details. I'm just
You are too.
Very happy to welcome in our first guest, Bill Ballinger, the editor of Inside Michigan Politics. Hello, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jack. Hi, Kelly.
Hello.
I want to talk for a minute about a debate that Tim Skubick moderated the other night with Mark Schauer and Tim Walberg. And, Bill, it sounds like it was tough to get a word in edgewise. It was just a series of interruptions. Would have been the exact opposite of the gubernatorial debate.
Yeah, Tim's losing control these days.
I figured after Off the Record, he could handle anything.
Yeah, well, you know, Schutte and Layton got into it on AG debate on Skubick's show, and he kind of lost control there at the end, but I think that was just child's play compared to Walberg and Schauer.
Kelly, you've seen a lot of these races over the years. Have you seen one that's maybe attracting more national attention in terms of a Michigan congressional race?
Well, actually, there are a handful of congressional races in Michigan that have attracted quite a bit of national attention. The Schauer-Walberg race, the Gary Peters-Andy Rakowski race, and actually the race to replace Bart Stupak.
Dan Benishek. And Gary McDowell.
Thank you. Thank you.
In the first district, the Upper Peninsula. Exactly.
But there's another race that we did some polling on last week that I think really our findings startled quite a few people, including the sitting congressman and the dean of Congress, John Dingell, who his opponent, a guy by the name of Rob Steele, who I understand is a cardiologist out of Ann Arbor, is statistically in a dead heat. But on that particular day, the polling, if you take out the margin of error for a minute, just the raw numbers had Steele up by about 2 points.
Wow.
And that attracted significant national attention. We fielded calls from reporters, especially those on the East Coast and D.C., and I was really surprised at how much attention it got. And, Bill, you might be amused by this. Part of the attention was driven by the Dingell campaign itself because they put out a preemptive strike calling our firm a GOP firm. We're all laughing because, first of all, everybody knows we're a nonpartisan firm, and more importantly, anyone who knows me knows I have very strong Democratic roots. So I actually sent an email back to the campaign, you know, explaining my strong Democratic ties over the years and then saying, look, I don't like the numbers any better than you do, but I stand by them. And then that got some coverage as well. So
sure. Well, believe it or not, there's some other races. I just got a call a few minutes ago saying this guy, John Kupiec, who is a Republican running against Dale Kildee up here in the 5th District in Flint, that he's only 4.5 points behind Kildee.
Wow.
And then, of course, the other direction, there's a Democrat in Grand Rapids in the 3rd District named Pat Miles, very attractive candidate, went to law school with Barack Obama. And he's gotten a lot of endorsements from prominent Republicans in that area who are moderate Republicans and claim that the Republican nominee, Justin Amash, is too conservative. So he's trying to make some noise that he might be able to pull a surprise the other direction. So a lot of attention on Michigan congressional races this year.
You know, that's really interesting that you say that about that race. I'll make sure we add that in the next week or two to our polls, Bill. But one of the things that I think people who don't live in the Grand Rapids area do not appreciate is how diverse the Grand Rapids area is. It's much less conservative, especially in the city itself, than most people realize. And in fact, there's a Democratic majority on the city council. So there are a lot of aspects about Grand Rapids that, unless you're spending much time up there, you really don't appreciate. And this race may be in part a reflection of that increasing diversity that Grand Rapids is experiencing.
Yeah, there's a lot of truth in what you say, Kelly. Grand Rapids itself, the city, is marginally Democratic now. I don't think there's any question about that. You get outside of the city, you get right into rural and suburban Kent County, and it's more conservative. And then, of course, next door, you've got Ottawa County. And I always remember that Dick Austin, when he was Democratic Secretary of State 30 years ago, said, I'm going to keep running until I win Ottawa County.
Well, and
there was one year when he won 82 counties, but he didn't win Ottawa County.
Exactly. His last successful race, and I can't remember what year that was, Bill, but he won every county in the state of Michigan except Ottawa County. And I like to think it's because it's a dry county. There's just something wrong. If you can't have a drink just before you go in or out of the polling booth, something ain't right.
Yeah, if they just loosen up a little bit, maybe a Democrat would have a chance over there.
Hey, Bill, in these statewide races, obviously, we still have Rick Snyder with a commanding lead, more than 20 points over Virch Bernero. And we talked about Schuette and Layton, but it looks like this race for Secretary of State is really closing up. And now we're talking about a statistical dead heat with Jocelyn Benson and Ruth Johnson.
Well,
yeah.
There was one poll.
There was one poll that came out today that shows it's a statistical dead heat. And depending on who goes to vote, you know, Benson might even be ahead. There was another one that came out that still has Johnson up, I think, in the high single digits. So, of all the races the Democrats have a chance for statewide, I would say that looks to be the most promising. Whether Jocelyn Benson can pull it off or not remains to be seen.
Well, and you're absolutely right. The poll we did that we released, I think, yesterday showed Jocelyn Benson within 9.5.
Okay.
Right.
Points, which I think you might call a statistical dead heat. But keep in mind, they're still in that particular race, 27.5, who are undecided. And
sure,
that's still a pretty large pool, where in the gubernatorial election, your pool of undecideds is really starting to close up at 15. Right now, it's about 15.8%. And you're absolutely right. Snyder is showing a strong 20% lead consistently, despite what Bernero's poll released on Monday showed. We did a poll shortly after the debate, and Snyder is still 20 points up. And in fact, that our poll showed that not only did very few people actually watch the debates, but those who did, it really didn't change their vote at all.
Hmm. Very interesting numbers, and I think that when you look at Bill Schuette and David Layton, there's another 20-plus point advantage. And I don't know if any sort of debate or skirmish or food fight or sumo wrestling match is going to change that.
Well, they've had one, and that's all I think there's going to be. So people are going to have to make up their mind from now on out on TV ads and sound bites and, you know, minimal news coverage. It's a little bit like 2002, 8 years ago, where, you know, Mike Cox and Gary Peters were kind of lost in the shuffle there over the last week or two. People didn't really know what was happening, and finally they woke up the morning after the election and they found that Mike Cox had actually pulled out this kind of upset win by this narrow 5,200 vote margin. I mean, we could have something like that again. I don't know.
Well, but that was, if I'm not mistaken, Bill, and I could be wrong in my recollection of this, in that particular race, the Gary Peters Mike Cox race, about the last 10 days of the election, the Michigan Chamber stepped up and put a significant amount of money in for Mike Cox, and that made quite a bit of difference.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah.
And, you know, that can still happen in one of these other two races we're talking about, either Attorney General or Secretary of State this year. You know, I expect that one side or the other, maybe both, are going to try and pull together whatever resources they have at the very end, particularly if it looks like certain other races are pretty much decided, and put a lot of resources into those two contests to make sure that they have the best chance to win the race.
Last question, and I want to ask both of you. I want to start with you, Bill. Put yourself in the shoes of a Democratic statewide candidate and a Republican statewide candidate, and you can have anyone come in and campaign for you over the last 3 weeks. Who are you picking?
Well, I think if you were a Democrat, you'd ask Bill Clinton. I think he would be the best choice? You mean somebody from outside the state? Is that what you mean?
Whoever you want.
Yeah, whoever you want. Well, I would say Bill Clinton for the Democrats. For the Republicans, hard to say at this point. Probably...
Ronald Reagan is not eligible.
Yeah, exactly. Probably Mitt Romney. I mean, Mitt Romney has done the best in Michigan most recently. He won the presidential primary a year ago because of his father remaining, popularity, George Romney. I think probably Mitt Romney of politicians outside the state probably would be the best.
Kelly?
No, the Mama Grizzly.
You think?
Yeah, Sarah Palin.
Yeah, Sarah Palin still.
We actually asked this question several weeks ago, and Bill, you hit the nail on the head in terms of Democrats, Bill Clinton, bar none, although we didn't test Michelle Obama, and I think Michelle Obama would be a very close second, but the Mama Grizzly, Sarah Palin, and it may be simply for entertainment value, like watching a car wreck.
Well, who's entertainment?
Well, that would be mine, yours, the pundits.
Well, see, but your question was, who would the Republican statewide candidate want to have? And I mean, there'd be some. I mean, look, do you think Rick Snyder would like to have Sarah Palin come in and campaign for him?
Well, but
I don't think so.
Well, but that's and you're absolutely right. But Rick Snyder is your big tent candidate as opposed to your straight party line candidate.
Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure Schuette and Ruth Johnson would want Sarah Palin in here in the last couple of weeks.
Oh, they
for
might.
What it's worth. Now, the Democrats, I think you might want her in here.
If I were a Democrat, I agree, I would want Bill Clinton in here.
Scott's nodding.
I know what he wants. But if I were a Republican candidate for Secretary of State or Attorney General, you know who I'd want to appear with?
Who?
Rick Snyder. I just have Rick just tag right by my side. If he's the most popular Republican in the country right now, who's running for gubernatorial or senatorial office, I don't have to spend much on mileage. He can drive up from Ann Arbor.
That could be true. Well, I don't see that much of that this year. His teaming up with people on down the ticket. I mean, it's kind of a lonesome Rick campaign in a way,
The tough and lonely nerd. Yeah. What about John Engler coming back and campaigning for somebody? Would there be any value in that, do you think?
That's possible. Certainly in certain districts. Well, John Engler already did have a fundraiser for a state representative candidate up in the Mount Pleasant area this summer, and that candidate won in an upset in the Republican primary, and maybe a state representative, Kevin Cotter. So Engler, if he picks and chooses his spots and, people in the right places ask him, yes, I think he'd be a huge asset.
Fascinating stuff. Bill, we'll talk with you again next week. Great to chat with you.
My pleasure, Jack. Kelly, best wishes.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Bill Ballinger, the editor of Inside Michigan Politics.